and schedule interviews from a user-friendly dashboard on your phone, tablet, or desktop. Simple. Indeed is hiring made simple, and simple works. An independent study proves 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. More hires than the rest combined. And right now we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job, boosting your listing and relevant search results and helping you find qualified candidates faster. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Weekly unemployment claims up slightly. Labor Department figures just out this morning show 234,000 Americans filed first-time claims for jobless benefits last week. That's 2,000 more than the previous week, as claims remain, though, at historically low levels. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke is expected to announce today whether to downsize or eliminate any of more than 24 national monuments.
President Trump ordered Zinke to review 27 national monuments. Environmental groups have been pushing to keep all 27 monuments protected at their current size. Zinke has said he's an advocate to never sell or transfer public land.
That's Mark Mayfield. It's Chicopee, Massachusetts, and not Watertown, Mass., where a winning $700 million-plus Powerball ticket was sold for last night's drawing. The Massachusetts lottery officials who made the first announcement got the first announcement wrong. In any case, that was the second biggest Powerball jackpot in history. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
President Trump taking to Twitter again to lay into the leaders of his own party, as Trump said today that he did ask Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Paul Ryan to attach legislation to raise the debt ceiling to the bill that reformed the Veterans Affairs Department. Trump tweeting, "I requested that Mitch and Paul tie that debt ceiling legislation into the popular VA bill which just passed for easy approval, but they didn't do it, so now we have a big deal coming with Dems holding them up as usual on debt ceiling approval." Trump adding, "Could have been so easy, and now such a mess." In a visit to Ukraine, Defense Chief James Mattis says the U.S. will continue to put pressure on Russia. Here's correspondent Bill Zimfer.
After meeting with Ukrainian President Poroshenko, Secretary Mattis said Russia continues to attempt to redraw international borders by force, adding that Moscow has not abided by the Minsk ceasefire agreement designed to end separatist violence in eastern Ukraine. Mattis stopped short, however, of promising to provide weapons to Ukraine.
An online screening for depression is available through Google now. People using Google in the U.S. can fill out a questionnaire.
Metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective. And you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
On today's program, I'll have my thoughts and observations about the events in Charlottesville and how one prominent businessman said something about it that he now regrets. It's Thursday, August 24th, 2017, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I've been taking care.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we want to say hello to Laura and William, who are watching on Facebook Live. We appreciate you tuning in. Today, it'll be sunny with a high of 81 degrees and a low of 56. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 78 and a low of 54. For Saturday, we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high of 77 and a low of 56. And for Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 77 and a low of 57. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is down 19.93 to 21,792.16. The NASDAQ is down 22.01 to 6256.39. S&P 500 down 4.39 to 2439.65. Oil is down $1.12 to $47.29 per barrel. And gold down $1.40 to $1,293.30 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you are now up to date. It's time to listen to the rest of the program at www.huntertonchamberradio.com or at WHCRDB on your digital player. Thanks for watching. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and the program is called Taking Care of Business, and that's exactly what we plan to do today, take care of a little bit of business. And I missed the show last week. I was in Secaucus, New Jersey, at what is known as the NBM show, and that is a show that's designed for engravers, for anybody who works in the apparel industry, the sign industry, to check out new equipment and get an idea of whether or not there's, you know, upgrades necessary in their store, or if they want to, whether they want to add any new equipment, or if they want to, you know, upgrade or anything like that. So we've decided that we are actually going to purchase some new equipment. We're going to get a embroidery machine in the shop over at Crown Trophy for our Crown Custom Apparel division, and now we'll be able to do, in addition to screen printing and transfers, we'll be able to do embroidery right on site. So looking forward to that. If you're listening online, then we ask that you currently open another browser and go to Facebook and like our page for this show, which is called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. We're trying to get more and more people engaged on Facebook so that we can introduce topics midweek in between programs and then keep you up to date of what's coming on this week's show. One winner in Massachusetts for the Powerball, $750 million, $443 million is their take home. Hopefully it's spread amongst 100 coworkers at work, but glad to see that somebody won that. Would have been much happier to see that I had won that, but, you know, I guess we can't all have everything that we want in life. And $443 million, I'm still not sure that I would have been able to quit my job with that. The business quote of the week, this is a feature that we've added just a couple of weeks ago. It's called the business quote of the week, and something to get you thinking about business and how in particular does this quote apply to your business. So we ask the question, or we start with the quote, and this week it comes to us from the founder of Wendy's, Dave Thomas, who said, "What do you need to start a business? Three simple things. You have to know your product better than anyone, know your customer, and have a burning desire to succeed." So do you have those three components as you're working in your business? Do you have a product that's better than anyone? And if not, is it something that can be improved upon, or does it have to be discarded in favor of another one? How well do you know your customer? How well do you know their buying habits? How well do you know their tendencies? And finally, do you have that burning desire to succeed? And when I deal with businesses, when I'm doing consulting, when I'm doing public speaking, when I'm going into audiences and talking to them about their business, what I find real quick is that a business owner or an entrepreneur or anybody who's running a business, the first one to 3 years, they have that burning desire. And then 3 to 5 years, it's a flame. And sometimes I get down to the coals, you know, the later in life or the later that they've been doing it, they are. Very rarely do I find somebody who's excited about their business the way they were on day one. So Dave Thomas's quote, the Wendy's founder, the business quote of the week here on Taking Care of Business: what do you need to start a business? Three simple things. Know your product better than anyone, know your customer, and have a burning desire to succeed. And then, of course, I ask you to think about that on your lunch break today. Is that where you are? Do you still have that burning desire to succeed? Do you really know your customer? And is your product better than anyone else's? Time to get into the program, and I'm kind of glad that I didn't have this show last week. I'm glad that I went to the NBM show because my thoughts were quite conflicted, but we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about Charlottesville and what's been going on in the world over the last couple of weeks. And I'll tell you, it took me the better part of 2 weeks to get my head wrapped around this and know that I could come here today and talk to you about it. But it's and it's very difficult because anything I say can be taken pro this, pro that, and it won't really matter. But I just want to give you my thoughts on it and kind of recap where we are now. Just prior to Charlottesville, if you remember in the news cycle, we were talking about Russia and the campaign and any illegal meetings, illegal emails, any infiltration, hacking, etc. That went away. We were talking about North Korea and the nuclear threat. They had threatened Guam. They had threatened Japan. They had threatened the western half of the United States as far as Chicago and west. They had threatened Hawaii. That went away from the conversation. Because Charlottesville really, I think, if you're like me, it kind of shook you to the core, because here in 2017, you don't necessarily think that this stuff can happen anymore in a country as great as the United States. But it's been with us since the dawn of time. It'll probably be with us till the lights go out. So it all began in Charlottesville on Friday, August 11th, on the campus of UVA, University of Virginia, when white nationalists, white supremacists, and members of the KKK were marching on campus in support of a, quote, Unite the Right march. They were on campus, and they were chanting things like White Lives Matter, You Will Not Replace Us, and Jews Will Not Replace Us. And then members of the Black Lives Matter movement, along with some white sympathizers, if you will, staged what is known as a counter-protest. And then that spilled over into Saturday, where a rally was scheduled near the Robert E. Lee Memorial and ended when a young man drove his car into the crowd, killing one person tragically and injuring dozens of others. Collaterally, two state troopers also died as a result of the helicopter that they were flying in for surveillance of the event crashed in the woods nearby. Now, the white nationalists were carrying torches, albeit fake Polynesian tiki torches. It sparks fear in the hearts of many. But the symbolism evoked memories of similar marches, of Hitler Youth and of the KKK cross burnings of the not-too-distant past. And the counter-protesters had pepper spray and chemicals and clubs and sticks and bottles and rocks. And, of course, violence erupted, and now three people are dead. A state of emergency was declared in the state of Virginia, and eventually calm, albeit an uneasy calm, returned to Charlottesville. And talking to people down there that I know, it's still a powder keg and very uneasy down there. Now, in times of crises, the nation looks to the president for reassurance. Think of Reagan after the space shuttle explosion, George Bush after 9/11, and Obama after the shootings in Newtown. In each case, these men chose their words carefully and were true leaders during a crisis. President Trump, in what could be a defining moment in his presidency, fell woefully flat, saying that he felt both sides were to blame and that there were fine people on both sides. But he never really came out initially and condemned what the white supremacists, the KKK, the alt-right were doing. Does he not have speechwriters who can craft the right words? Why is it that Melania Trump sent out a tweet about Charlottesville and it took the president 4 hours to say anything? Leaders lead, winners win. In the weeks that have followed, Trump has stayed on script at times and then gone totally rogue, which has only made matters worse. Again, leaders lead. We're going to step away for our first break. When we come back, we're going to have more thoughts on Charlottesville and where we are in America today in 2017, and if we'll ever find healing in this country. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh, yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join me this afternoon. Taking a departure, if you will, from our normal programming to talk about some of the issues going on in the world, including Charlottesville, Virginia, and everything that happened down there, the other protests that have happened around the country, including in Boston. So getting back to Charlottesville, it was confusing as I watched the media coverage because they were talking about a statue of Robert E. Lee. They were talking about the Confederacy. And then you had the neo-Nazis and the white supremacist groups yelling, you know, White Lives Matter. But when they started, all of a sudden they would start interspersing, you know, Jews will not replace us. And I was, for a good couple of hours, I was confused. What are they arguing about? What are they protesting about? Was it blacks? Was it Jews? Was it the Confederacy? Was it the monument? Very hard and a very confusing message. So when I talked to you earlier and I mentioned that, you know, Trump fell very flat on his messaging. And again, when the space shuttle blew up, we were all hurt. Many cried. And yet Reagan gave us those comforting words that evening that kind of brought us all back together and started the healing. When George Bush was standing on the pile of rubble and someone yelled, "We can't hear you," and he goes, "But the world will hear us," we knew what that meant. When Obama, President Obama, talked about the shooting in Newtown, it gave comfort, if you will. And that's kind of what people look for in the messaging from the president. It has to be forceful. It has to be reassuring. It has to give confidence. Trump hasn't done any of that. And the more I watch him, the way his speech pattern is, the way his tone, inflection, and everything else is, I'm ready to label him as a person with about a sixth grade vocabulary. He repeats the same words over and over. He creates words like bigly and things like that, and it's just, it's not there. You don't look to him as the source of reassurance. And it took Donald Trump 2 days to say that racism has no place in America. That would have been the first thing I would have come up with. Why did it take him 2 days? And how many people do you think were circling around, you know, his inner circle saying, we've really got to get in front of this. We've got to say that there's no place for racism in America. So rather than condemning it outright from the onset, he stumbled, he wavered, and he was wishy-washy. And all of that together did one thing. It gave rise to the alt-right movement, to the neo-Nazi movement, to the white supremacists, and to the Ku Klux Klan, who interpreted that non-declaration that racism has no place in America, that it should be condemned at all costs. It gave them a measure of support from the president for their cause. And now they've gone out and they've promised that there will be more rallies, and if necessary, there will be more violence. White supremacists, KKK, and alt-right members are no longer living in the shadows. You know, and I want you to kind of work with me here over the last 100 years. And I hate using this term, but back in the day, you know, 100 years ago, in the 30s and 40s, members of the Ku Klux Klan, not ideally, but predominantly were in the South. I went to school in Salem, West Virginia, and I can recall on several basketball trips, as we were riding home from a game in Charleston at Concord College or something like that, when we would be driving up Interstate 79, and here I am, one of two white guys sitting in the van with black teammates, and over the course of a three-hour drive, we would see three cross burnings on hillsides all over the state of West Virginia. The thing is, it's not limited to West Virginia or Virginia and the South. There are people that you know who are, in effect, white supremacist sympathizers, possibly even members of the Klan, possibly having neo-Nazi tendencies. There's hatred everywhere, and you have to question why. If you think that these groups aren't around in Hunterdon County, aren't around in central New Jersey, aren't around all over in this country, then you've been living under a rock for way too long. They are everywhere. And sometimes they mask it. They go to work. They could sit right next to you. It could be a white boss with a black subordinate or vice versa, and you would never know. But then they come out of the shadows. As a result of Trump's position, he had two business alliances that were made up of some of the top CEOs in industry across the country. And members quit almost hourly from these councils until the point where Trump had no recourse but to just abandon the business alliance altogether. And instead of just saying, this isn't the right time for the business alliance, you know, we'll revisit this in the future, he closed them down. And then he started attacking the members, you know, like the chairman of Merck. This has to stop. And I don't know where or when, but I know that we have to start very early to make it stop. You see, you're not born with hate. That is a learned trait. You go to any playground in America, and if you watch kids who are like 2 to 5 years old playing, it doesn't matter whether they're white, they're black, they're Asian. It just doesn't matter. Indian, Hispanic, those guys, those kids get it. Hey, you're just like me. You're just a different skin color. Half of them don't even realize it's a different skin color. They just want to have a friend to play with on the swings. And as I walk down that history lesson with you, I want you to remember that everything that has come before us, good and bad, is what makes us who we are. This was a good example the other day on the news. A woman came out and said, if you look at yourself, forget Charlottesville for just a minute, but if you look at yourself and you say, everything that's come before, your parents, your sisters and brothers, aunts, uncles, grandparents, etc., have made you who you are. Every experience you've had with the bully on the playground, first dates, first kiss, first time you made love to someone, all of those experiences help shape who you are. Whether a person came into your life for a moment or whether they've stayed for a lifetime, all of that has created, in effect, who you are. And the same can be said about the history of the United States. Everything that's happened from the time that they signed the Declaration of Independence to present day has made this country who we are. Wars, civil wars, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, economic crises, all of it is what has shaped this country into what it is. And now we get to a point where people have determined that certain statues are representing the wrong part of our history, so they want to take them down. Watched a very interesting interview with Condoleezza Rice, who is an African-American woman who used to be the Secretary of State under George Bush, who, when interviewed on Fox and Friends, said that we should not try to sanitize history by tearing down statues, that we should respect what those statues represent, that time. And she pointed out people, individual people in history, Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, all both good patriots, if you will, and bad in a sense that they had slaves. And she said, you have to remember that these were gentlemen of their times, just like we are gentlemen and women of our times. And you can't excuse them. You can't necessarily forgive, maybe the wrong word. But this was so common. Slavery was so common, and I don't want to say everybody was doing it, that it was an accepted practice at that time. Even George Washington was a slave owner. Charles Barkley, when asked about the statue, says, I just don't look at him. I don't pay any attention to him. It doesn't offend me in any way. It's just a statue. But statues being torn down aren't the answer. And Condoleezza Rice said it best. You cannot sanitize history. It won't go away. You would have to remove not just statues, but history books from classrooms, videos from every source. You can't eliminate an entire period, an entire era that spans nearly 100 years and make it go away. It's just not that simple. And if we do replace that history, if we take it all away, something terrible happens. You're destined to repeat it. And that's the one thing that people don't see. Auschwitz is a memorial of a horrible atrocity in German and Jewish history. And yet the Jews don't want it to be torn down. Rather, they want it to remain as a reminder of what can happen when evil takes over so that it never happens again. Statues don't incite violence. People do. They're there to depict a time in history, to educate. If you disagree with the character of the person who's memorialized in the statue, that's okay. But it's a time in history that it represents. And if you were going to base character as the only reason why a person could or couldn't get a statue, Martin Luther King wouldn't have a statue either, because he was a known philanderer with women. He had many mistresses. I don't think that would be the right character to have on a statue, despite all the good he did. Again, you're not born with hate. It's learned. There's no place in this world for hatred, for violence, for prejudice, for bigotry. We cannot move forward as a society if those traits remain, but it would take generations to eliminate them, if at all. We have to start teaching tolerance at the earliest of ages to our children, and how we as adults act and speak gets emulated by our kids. So we have to lead by example. For instance, if you're at the dinner table and your kids hear you talking about a person of another ethnicity or religion in a negative way, that they're absorbing all of that, and then they're taking that with them to the playground, to the classroom, etc. But we have to start in the churches, we have to start in the schools, and we have to start early to educate and to teach tolerance of all races, of all faiths. ESPN probably pulled the biggest blunder of all out of everything that happened in Charlottesville. They pulled an announcer from announcing a University of Virginia football game because his name is Robert Lee. He's also Asian. He's more likely to be related to Bruce Lee than to Robert E. Lee, but they pulled him for fear that this would harm the broadcast. If anything, it's probably going to harm the broadcaster more than the broadcast. If you remember the LA riots that stemmed from the beating of Rodney King, at the height of the riots, Rodney King made an impassioned plea to all of the rioters and to all Americans when he said, "Can't we all get along?" Well, can't we?
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
A White House memo has been prepared for the Pentagon telling them to not allow transgender people into the military. The Trump administration expected to issue the guidance in coming days. The Wall Street Journal says the guidance will give Defense Secretary James Mattis the power to remove current transgender military members. Secretary of Defense Mattis currently in the Ukraine talking to Ukrainian officials about how the U.S. can help them in their battle against Russia.
We continue to support Ukraine and remain committed to building the capacity of your armed forces to defend their country and to defend protecting the Ukrainian people.
The U.S. Navy suspending search and rescue efforts for nine missing USS John S. McCain sailors. The mission was called off after more than 80 hours of multinational search efforts over an approximately 2,100 square mile area east of the Straits of Malacca and Singapore. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root, otherwise known as War. You hear my national radio show, War Now, the Wayne Allyn-Root Show, every day on USA Radio Network at 6 p.m. Eastern, as well as my national TV show, War Now, on Newsmax TV every day at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But I'm everywhere leading the conservative fight on Fox News, on hundreds of radio shows as a guest, writing books like Angry White Male, my newspaper columns, even on CNN. I'm a conservative warrior fighting for conservatism, capitalism, American exceptionalism, and Judeo-Christian values. And of course, I will always be the fiercest defender in the media for my great President Donald J. Trump. But it all starts at my website, RootForAmerica.com. You'll find the hottest stories, news headlines, my passionate, in-your-face, take-no-prisoners, conservative commentaries, and popular videos. The left will win this war over my cold, dead body. So every day, start your day with the news and opinions that matter to conservatives and patriots at my site, RootForAmerica.com, or listen to my radio show at USAradio.com, or watch my TV show at NewsmaxTV.com. Above all, be sure to root for America.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Workout. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join me as we get together every Thursday at this time to talk about issues affecting businesses, both here in the borough and on the national scene as well. So speaking of the national scene, if you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you know that I admire Marcus Lemonis from the television show The Prophet, and that's on CNBC on Tuesday nights, and then he also had a show this year called The Partner. So Marcus was interviewed on CNBC last week, and he made a statement which has largely been taken out of context, but that context was enough to get him into a little bit of hot water. So on CNBC last week during an interview, and this is about a four-minute soundbite, but in the middle of it, he said, look, if you're going to agree with what Trump said, don't shop in my stores, referring to his Camping World RV centers. Now, instantly on Twitter, he was just getting bashed by people. And probably a lot of the people who agree or voted with Donald Trump are campers, outdoors people, you know, and they were all saying that they were going to boycott Camping World, that they wouldn't shop there anymore. And in fact, NASCAR driver Mark Martin had a $150,000 RV order with Camping World that he canceled the order to. Marcus Lemonis called him to explain his position, and then Mark Martin came out publicly and said, after a phone call from Marcus Lemonis, I'm no longer bashing Camping World. I am going to go ahead with my order. So here's the point of all this. As a business owner, and I have said this I don't know how many times on the program, but as a business owner, everything you say and everything you do is under the microscope. If you take a political opinion, it could come back to bite you. Think about it. If the last election were split pretty close, like 51-49, somewhere in that, it's not like it's 70-30, but it's a like razor-thin margin, then you have the potential to piss off about 50% of your potential client base. So when Marcus made that statement, if you don't like what Trump said, don't shop in my stores, instantly there's this backlash. The stock starts to plummet. And I said, don't worry about it. It'll be all right. And people were like, well, everybody's complaining. Everybody's saying that Marcus is a bad man. And so what happens is now when everybody calls for the boycott, all of a sudden, the stock price drops. Marcus has now been on social media three times that he has apologized, if you will, three times on social media, including a very long missive today on Facebook. And it's kind of hard for me to deal with this because, you know, once you say, and I've said this on the show many times, once you say it, you own it. So if he said don't shop in my stores, if you disagree with me that much, you have the choice, don't shop in my store. And then you let the chips fall where they may. Now, Camping World, the stock has actually risen by $1.80 over the last 3 days, which proves that boycotts generally don't work. I did some quick math, and with owning 32 million shares and now up at $1.80, Marcus has made himself about $87 million over the last 3 days. But again, if you say it, you own it. And Abraham Lincoln, I think, said it best. He said, I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep doing so until the end. If the end brings me out all right, what is said against me won't amount to anything. If the end brings me out all wrong, 10 angels swearing I was right would make no difference. I want to just share something with you, and I hope that I have his permission. But I have a friend named Lewis. We went to college together, and a very good guy. I respect the hell out of this guy. And, you know, he's a very proud black man, and not that that matters, but Lewis is just a genuine great person. And he says, I'm listening to your show. He says, in my opinion, before a single statue was even talked about being removed, history had already begun to repeat itself. So to tell you the truth, you could have never convinced me I would have to relive any form what I started to experience 50 years ago. And you hit the nail exactly on the head, Lewis, and I appreciate you taking the time to send me that message. We're already there. The tensions have been building up, and he nailed it there when he says that history had already started to repeat itself. We've seen it. And I don't want to blame it on Rodney King or anything, but we've seen these little outbursts, and then it goes away. It fades into the news cycle, and all of a sudden something else happens. And then, you know, over the last 3 to 5 years with everything that happened in Ferguson, in Baltimore, and God knows where else, just too many places, we're starting to see it again. And again, I don't think anybody can just take a broad brush and paint this and make it better. Removing statues won't do it. Removing textbooks won't do it. The history is there. How we quell it, again, is going to have to start at a young age with education. The Constitution said it. The 14th Amendment enhanced it. And then when blacks were given full rights with the Civil Rights Act, all men are created equal. Why can't we just act like that? This is the part that just annoys the hell out of me. So, again, I'm on the story going back to Marcus Lemonis. In business, when you're the owner, and I don't care whether you're the owner, whether you're the employee, whether you're the janitor, if you represent a company, again, everything you say, everything you do can come back to bite you in the ass. So you want to make sure that, you know, if you want to be the guy who's going to get out there and be in front of it and then, you know, make a comment, understand it can come back to bite you. Let's talk about reviews and why positive reviews are essential to your small business. Now, when making purchasing decisions, customers trust online reviews as much as personal recommendations. So what are they saying about your business? Word of mouth marketing may seem like an outdated term, the referral, if you will, but its digital counterpart, online reviews, are just as important in modern marketing. In fact, 84% of people asked in Bright Local's 2016 Local Consumer Review Survey said that they trust online reviews as much as a personal recommendation. Every day, customers and potential customers are inundated with marketing messages via email, social media, and more means. In a culture where businesses constantly try to tell customers what to think and feel, it's not surprising that they turn to other customers for feedback that they can trust. Positive reviews are important to small business growth because they carry more weight with potential customers than company marketing messages, according to Karen Swim, who's the founder of Words for Hire. People see reviews as an unbiased opinion. We've long known that word-of-mouth marketing is a very powerful tool, and that concept has only been amplified by the web, where it can be shared wider and further. And while positive reviews are essential to drive customers to your small business, it's just as important to ensure that your company has a strategy in place to appropriately respond to a bad review. According to a recent study conducted by Vistaprint Digital, 50% of small business consumers said that bad online reviews were the thing most likely to prevent them from choosing a particular business, said Sarah Matista, who's the marketing communications manager for Vistaprint Digital. So this is something that very few businesses pay any attention to. But if you're a business owner, one of the things that I want to make sure that you're doing on a regular basis, two things actually. First, I want you to Google your business, make sure you've claimed all of your listings, and look for those reviews. Good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. And if there is a negative one out there, you want to respond personally. If there's a positive one out there, you want to respond both publicly and offline, where the person can know that you appreciate that they took the time to post that review. So make sure that you're, and then also look at your name. Do a Google search of your name, and you may want to do Google alerts of both your company and your personal name, so that anytime you show up in a feed, Google will alert you that, you know, somebody's talking about you, and you can address it as quickly as possible. You certainly don't want a negative review sitting out there for 3 to 6 months before you even have a chance to address it. When we come back, we're going to take our last break of the afternoon. When we come back, we're going to talk about how busy executives can both inspire and motivate their employees. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me as we wrap up yet another hour together and talk about issues affecting businesses here in Hunterdon County and on the national scene as well. one thing that I think affects businesses is whether you're a good leader or whether you're just a manager of people. And no matter how personally productive you are on a daily basis, you can't advance your company's goals if your employees aren't inspired to do the same. As a business leader, your job is to motivate them. Now, in order for a company to grow and thrive, employees need to embrace its values, understand its goals, and be dedicated to its success. Financial incentives only go so far, and it's the job of the CEO and other executive leaders to inspire and motivate employees. And one way they can accomplish that is through intentional communication with their teams. For the CEOs interviewed for this piece, communication is a top priority, and they're finding that a mix of methods is the most effective. So here's some tools, some money, and some know-how on how you can make an impact. First, you want to connect with your employees. Now, Tony Prince founded an IT security company called Lurk in 1996 with his wife in their garage and grew it to more than 100 employees. He sold it after a decade and has since run a couple of other IT businesses. Recently, he became the CEO of Fish Labs, a cybersecurity company that is based in Charleston, South Carolina, and employs around 130 people. Communication, Prince says, is not a one-size-fits-all approach, which is why he likes going beyond the formal meeting. Informal one-on-ones is what makes a difference, says Prince, who meets with each of his top leaders informally and impromptu at least once a week and has instituted these meetings across the company. I enjoy spending time with my leaders and making sure we have a shared vision, he says. Employees need to feel connected, and to achieve that, senior leaders must regularly make themselves available, be where the work is, be present while there, and then open themselves up to questions, says Jeff Thompson, an MD who's the author of Lead True, Live Your Values, Build Your People, Inspire Your Community. Thompson, who's a pediatrician, was the CEO of Wisconsin-based healthcare organization Gunderson Health System for 14 years before transitioning in 2015 to the role of CEO Emeritus and Executive Advisor. The organization, which has 6 hospitals and 60 clinics, grew from 4,000 to 7,000 employees during his CEO tenure. Intentional communication is important, but don't leave it to the chain of command, he says. That's the weak link in the communication. If you don't love what you're doing and you don't have that passion, people pick up on that in a heartbeat. Listening to ideas is empowering, but what's harder is to listen for what employees are not saying, says Sherry Baranek, who's the president and CEO of Minneapolis-based Clearfield. The company, which employs more than 200 people, manufactures fiber optic management products. Sometimes the hardest thing for an employee to do is tell their manager that they're wrong. She says, now I'm not as good at this as I'd like, but having thick skin and the ability to take upward constructive criticism will go much further than any fancy scorecard. You also have to develop a culture of trust. Alan T. Handley was hired as the CEO of Chicago-based Lakeshore Recycling Systems in 2013 after two family businesses owned and merged into one company with 200 employees. Since then, he has more than tripled sales and has grown the company to about 750 employees and 7 locations serving the greater Chicago area. One strategy that's worked through this kind of growth is building strong trust with those he interacts with daily. He says when he worked for other people as a younger person, he hated that sense of ambiguity that came with not knowing whether or not he was doing a good job. Nobody leaves my office every day wondering where they stand at the company, he says. They all know where they stand, and I look out ferociously for them, making sure they get the budgets, resources, and the people that they need. Understanding employees' motivations, their vision of the future and challenges is paramount to building trust, he believes. This includes getting to know about their personal lives, their families, and interests outside of work. I routinely find myself talking about things outside of work, too, because that's being real, he says. For Thompson, building trust sometimes means going against unconventional wisdom. When his company's margins were down during the recent recession, he didn't want to lay off frontline staff. The decision wasn't popular with the board of directors and even jeopardized his job, but Thompson says he was told he could be easily replaced. The staff were so touched, he says, that even years later, some still talk about it. We did a lot of very hard things, but we didn't pull the easy switch just to make the numbers look better, he says. A value-based leader doesn't look for someone else to take a beating. For some leaders, inspiring employees starts with themselves and having passion for their own work. That passion helps to drive a massively positive attitude that's infectious, says Hanley of Lakeshore Recycling. If you don't love what you're doing and you don't have that passion, people will pick up on that in a heartbeat. And remember what I've always said, if you don't have the passion for the work you do, it's time to find a new line of work. We got about 7 or 8 minutes left in the program. I want to go over something that is scary. And the more people I talk to, it's getting even more scary because the more people I talk to, it's becoming true. And that is that one third of small business owners don't have a retirement savings plan. New research reveals which types of retirement plans are most popular for small business owners. Retirement is top of mind for professionals everywhere, but that doesn't always mean that they have a savings plan in place. So to determine how many small business owners are planning for retirement, Manta surveyed 1,960 small business owners and found that more than one-third don't have a retirement savings plan, while another 36% plan on seeking out other job opportunities upon retirement from their business. The research also explores how small business owners' retirement savings habits differ from consumers, their reasons for not having a savings plan, and which plans are the most popular among small business owners. Business owners were asked several questions. First, at what age do you hope to retire? Before the age of 40, 10% responded. Between 40 and 55, 19%. Between 56 and 65, 29%. And after the age of 65, 42%. They were asked, once you step down from your business into retirement, do you plan to seek out other job opportunities? 64% said no, while 36% said yes. Do you have a succession plan for your business? 34% said no, while 66% said yes. Just did a story on this 2 weeks ago about how to sell your business. That's part of the succession plan, whether you're going to hand it over to family, to current employees, or sell. And here we have a third of the respondents saying they've never even given it a thought. Do you currently have a retirement savings plan? This is shocking. 34% said no, while 66% said yes. If yes, which of the following retirement savings plans do you have? Self-employed 401k, 43%, the traditional IRA, 31%, Roth IRA, 29%, a simple IRA, 13%, an SEP IRA, 10%, and other means, 26%. If no, why don't you have a retirement savings plan? I don't make enough profit to save for retirement, said 37%. I use my previous retirement savings to invest into my business, said 21%. I plan to sell my business to fund my retirement, 18%. That better be a damn good business. And I don't see the need to save for retirement, 12%. Or I don't have any plans to retire, 12%. On the consumer side, when asked when they plan to retire, at what age did they hope to retire, it was before age 40, 9%. 40 to 55, 11%, 55 to 65, 35%, and after age 65, 45%. So a lot of scary numbers when you consider that people really just aren't doing their homework and getting prepared for the next phase of their life. This may be something, and I've talked to a lot of young people that are just entering the business world now, and none of them really have any form of savings. What they want is, rather than taking $20 out every week, they'd want that $20 in their pocket. Problem with that is, what are you going to do? You're going to spend it. Versus putting that money away, and then, hopefully when you're 55 to 65, having $1 million or more that you'll be able to retire on. So this is something I think that is a good gut check moment for a lot of people. Figure out A, how old you are, when you want to retire, and how do you plan on funding your retirement. Now, my wife and I met with a financial planner not too long ago, and he said, now discuss for me, when do you plan to retire? And he had us dying at the age of like 90. So if you plan on retiring at the age of 60, that means you have to have enough income to last you 30 years. And fortunately, we did, but the question is, how many people don't? Just like that story earlier in the program about the lottery winner that just won $750 million, he estimates that most people who come into a windfall of money, and that could be lottery, it could be inheritance or something like that, will blow through that money within 18 months. Scary thought. So let's take a look at our finances and see if we can't get back on track. If you currently don't have a 401k, even if you're in your 50s, start one today so that you'll have something there when you do go to retire. But it's eye-opening and kind of scary when you think how many people are not ready. And then ask yourself, are you planning to retire until the day you die? And for some people, that may be the truth. And for others, it may be an unintended consequence of not planning early enough. So what else is happening in the world these days? Getting ready for the Labor Day weekend. That's coming up in another week or so. Still working on Brandon's house every weekend. So doing a lot of masonry work this weekend, getting ready for some inspections, hopefully get some drywall up and then start painting so that they can move in coming up in the next couple of weeks. A lot going on in Flemington. Don't forget to stop by Lone Eagle on Saturday night as they'll be having one of their regular filling station things. Old York Cellars is doing a lot of things on the weekend, so you may want to check them out as well. And just keep your eyes out on Flemington. The new campaign, Explore Flemington, is going and being expanded. There's a lot of opportunity coming up here. Next week I'm going to have a special request as well as some information on an upcoming program we're going to do around the holidays so to get the schools involved. So hopefully there'll be something for everyone around the holidays this year. In sports, in Major League Baseball, in the American League, the Red Sox, Indians, and Astros lead their divisions, while in the National League, the Nationals, Cubs, and Dodgers lead their divisions. Sad news in the Atlantic League of Professional Baseball. Executive Director Joe Klein passed away yesterday after complications from heart surgery. Klein was the executive director of the Atlantic League, which is the home of the Somerset Patriots Baseball Club. Last week, Kyle Busch won the Bass Pro Shops NRA night race at Bristol Motor Speedway. And this weekend, the teams are off with only the Xfinity Series racing at Road America. In the NFL, training camps are underway, and tonight begins week three of the preseason games, with the Giants playing the Jets tomorrow night at 7 p.m. and the Eagles taking on the Dolphins tonight. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today. And I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe it can help you in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
A White House memo has been prepared for the Pentagon telling them to not allow transgender people into the military. The Trump administration expected to issue the guidance in coming days. The Wall Street Journal says the guidance will give Defense Secretary James Mattis the power to remove current transgender military members. Secretary of Defense Mattis currently in the Ukraine talking to Ukrainian officials about how the U.S. can help them in their battle against Russia.
We continue to support Ukraine and remain committed to building the capacity of your armed forces to defend their country and to defend protecting the Ukrainian people.
The U.S. Navy suspending search and rescue efforts for nine missing USS John S. McCain sailors. The mission was called off after more than 80 hours of multinational search efforts over an approximately 2,100 square mile area east of the Straits of Malacca and Singapore. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, my mother was on welfare. She fought day and night to get off welfare and give her children a better life. She would always say to me, "Son, this is the best that I can do, but you can do better." And I promised that I would do better and that I would be the catalyst for change in our community. Just like I promised you that together we can build a multi-billion dollar media company that brings wealth back to our community, that resurrects blighted areas and puts people back to work. Be part of the promise. Be part of change. Invest in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Call now, 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. Or visit our website at PunchTVStudios.com.
Archaeologists in Israel making a major discovery. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
Archaeologists uncovering a 1,500-year-old mosaic with a Greek inscription in Jerusalem's old